Hello, you're listening to season 5 of the Achieve With Me podcast, and I'm your host, Rachel Gilfrim. My mission as a confidence and career performance coach is to empower women just like you to build confidence at work, have your voice heard, and achieve genuine career fulfillment. We'll be chatting about creating confidence, setting boundaries, finding the fun in everyday tasks, and of course, navigating the usual challenges that come with being an achiever. Connect with me on LinkedIn to join my group, Mindset Hacks for Ambitious Women. And without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Hello, my ambitious ladies, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Achieve With Me podcast. Oh, goodness me, I'm so excited to be back. It's been a little while since we did season 4, and I'm back with a bit of a difference because I'm back with my solo episodes. Now, I'm not saying exclusively that there won't be any guests this season, just at the moment, but I know that when I put together season 4, it was really about having a spotlight on some of the incredible people around me to show what value they could add. And I love doing that. I really love involving other people in the conversation because the ability that the conversations then have to evolve and take turns is really great, and we can often delve into topics that take even me by surprise. So I love to have the guests on in season 4. But I wanted to come back in season 5, getting back to diving into some of the topics that are really close to my heart. And I'm seeing so many things changing in the world of work, yet still seeing so many common themes sort of emerging from the clients that I'm working with. So it's always interesting to share, I think, as well, and look at, you know, the sorts of experiences that other people are having. And with this in mind, I'm kicking off season 5 with an episode all to do with personal power, because this is such an important topic that's threaded through all the work that I do with my clients, both one-to-one and, of course, within corporate as well. So personal power is something that I'm seeing a lot of my clients almost unconsciously subscribing to this narrative that they don't necessarily have a choice in situations. And what do I mean by that? Well, I think sometimes we let things get on top of us. And when we let our things like our workloads and pressures from a working environment, coupled with all the other things we've got going on in our lives as ambitious women, families, households, that sort of thing, when we let all this get on top of us, sometimes we end up sort of going around on autopilot, and we don't necessarily stop to take stock and look at things and think, what's working for me right now? Like, what's going well? And, you know, really taking stock of what we're actually happy with. So often we can find things sort of shaping the trajectory of the way that we're moving forward without us even realizing it. And so when I talk about personal power, what I'm talking about is our ability to assess the situation that we're in and make a choice about that trajectory and about that journey forward that we're about to take. Because very often we convince ourselves, because we see this, you know, other people saying this, or we see this on the TV or whatever, we kind of think, oh, well, you know, I can't do anything about that. I don't have any power in that situation. It's just the way it is something that I hear very often. And I don't want it to be just the way it is anymore. So when you are ambitious, it can be so tricky to almost zoom out of that day to day and take your eye off the ball and just look at everything holistically and really try to look at what's working for you. And that's what I want from today. So what I'm going to be discussing in today's episode is 3 common themes that I've noticed recently from clients that I've worked with And these are sort of belief systems or situations that they have been in, and actually at stages not necessarily realised the different options that they have moving forward as well. So we're going to kick off, in fact, I'll give you a summary of the three themes so far. So the first one is workload management. So it's really this kind of narrative of having too much work to do, but feeling undervalued. So you've got so much to do, but you feel as though people just keep dropping things on your pile and they're not necessarily respecting your time. The second thing is feeling as though you're lacking a professional presence. So you're kind of just feeling overlooked, like you're going about your day, you're doing great work, but you don't feel as though you've really got that presence where people turn to you and genuinely want to hear what you've got to say, because it feels as though they're just kind of nodding along with what you're saying. And then the third thing is questioning whether they can deliver. This is really interesting. So this can sometimes happen when someone has started a new role and they're really thinking, gosh, I've got this mountain to climb. I've gone through all the interviews and, you know, said that I'm the best thing since sliced bread, but now, oh my gosh, am I actually going to be able to do this? And one of the challenges that I see within this is them taking too much responsibility for their role. So we're going to go through these common themes in a little bit more detail. So let's start with the first one, the first common theme, which was this feeling of lack of workload management happening. So you've got too much work and you're feeling undervalued because you keep getting more and more put onto your pile. And what tends to happen in these situations is we say to ourselves, right, as soon as I've got through that, I'm going to be able to focus on that project. And typically what happens is the bulk of the work is the kind of everyday needs to be done type stuff. And then the project stuff that you're wanting to get to, that's the stuff that really lights you up. That's the fun to do stuff. And these projects are really fantastic ways to propel ourselves forward in our careers, really, because what happens in the fun projects is you get to be able to showcase the best parts of your skills and your passion comes out a lot more because it's something new. And I think that there's part of all of us that really thrives with almost the novelty of doing something new. So when we can do these exciting new projects, we're really showcasing the best of ourselves, even if we feel a little bit daunted sometimes. You know, it really provides a platform for us to show what we can do. But we can't get to those things because we've got all these day-to-day bits and bobs piling up. So it's really frustrating because what happens is there tends to be particular sources of this work. So if you actually sit back and reflect, probably a lot of the work that's been put onto your pile is coming from the same person. So the first thing to do is really identify who keeps putting work on my pile. Okay, so really kind of looking at where's this coming from? Why is this list not going down? Why do I feel like I'm not getting the accomplishment of completing it? And then really identifying, okay, if I know that this is coming from this department, this person, how can I begin to push back on them? So when we think about personal power, it's almost about, okay, so far I've been letting them come to me to put work on my pile. How can I push back on them? Can I say things like, have you asked anybody else? Or who else could help you with this? So that's the first thing, trying to kind of push back on some of that workload. But then the second thing that's helpful to do is really look at which parts of this can you actually delegate? And as someone who has been a total people pleaser in the past, and I've spoken about this so much recently because genuinely I've had this conversation about this workload management piece at least 3 times in the last week alone. Okay, so when I say it's a common theme, it's really common. So I've had these people-pleasing tendencies before where I've secretly wanted to do it all myself so I can be like, well, you know, I've managed all of this and I've done all of that. And when I look back, I'm actually just giving myself far too much to do. I'm actually putting myself in a position where I'm having to work late to complete the work just because I want to be able to say, oh yeah, but I did that. And if that's you, I'm really sorry to say, spoiler alert, probably no one cares or notices. So that's just from my own experience, but also the experience of a lot of the clients that have come to me with this particular scenario. So really looking at, okay, am I filling up my time with things that are probably below my pay grade? Let's be honest. And how can I get my team or my colleagues, my peers to support me with some of this? So really looking at, okay, these are the tasks that I've got. So when we talked about previously wanting to get through the bulk, the majority, the quantity work that keeps coming in so that we can get to the fun project stuff where you can really shine. One of the things that's really helpful to do is actually identify which parts of your work light you up. And I've said this before on the podcast, but I'll say it again in case you're new here or if you haven't seen that episode. A really powerful exercise to do when you're feeling overwhelmed and feeling as though you're not getting that fulfillment from the work you're doing is simply to write a list of all the things that you're sort of doing in your role day to day. And these could be things from like anything down to managing emails, if you have specific inboxes that you're in charge of, to hosting meetings, to any line management tasks that you've got. Literally list them all out and then go through and put a cross or a tick next to that activity. And what this will indicate is whether you feel that piece of work lights you up, you know, you feel in flow when you're doing it, or is actually positively contributing to your growth and personal development as an individual. So the things that are probably going to get a cross next to them are anything that you can do with your eyes closed, but is just taking quite a lot of time. Or things that you look at and think, oh no, not this again. This is going to be the last thing that I do today because this is just a task that I do not enjoy. So all the things that you're putting off because you simply just find them boring. And again, asking yourself, do I need to do this? Do I need to do this? Or does just somebody need to do this? So really valuing your own skill set in that moment and thinking, no, this does not need to be done by me. So this is going to give you a really interesting reflection on where you're investing your time. And one of the things that's probably relevant to say at this point is if previously when I've been saying, oh, you want to get through the quantity work so that you can get onto those exciting projects, if you've been sat there thinking, what are you talking about, Rachel? I don't have any exciting projects. There isn't anything like that that I can get involved in. This is a really good time to really start going down your list, looking at all the ticks, looking at all the things that you enjoy doing and want more of, but also considering areas that aren't involved in your role today that you would actually really enjoy having a bit of experience doing, and then start really looking at getting together a task or project that you would like to have experience in, and putting it forward to your line manager to say, this is where I really feel that my skills would be really powerfully invested by the company. I'd love to do this on a trial basis. I'd love to do this to collaborate with another department, whatever it is. But putting those things forward so that you've got more opportunities to do more of the work that you love and actually develop as an individual. You might be thinking, well, my work wouldn't stand for that. They're very fixed. And, you know, if you do this role, then that's what you do. And if you do that role, that's what you do. But honestly, really think about the way that you can pitch this forward. So pull out, you know, your skills and your values and look at the best way that you can put that forward to your line manager that would benefit everybody involved. So that's just a side note. But honestly, we need to be looking at the work that we're doing, where we're investing our energy, because if we don't, it might not be today, it might not be next month, it could be a couple of months down the line, but you're going to wake up one day and realize, oh my goodness me, I've just been doing the same things over and over again, and I'm not fulfilled. I want more from this, but I don't really know how to get out of this situation now. So going back to the personal power theme, it's about really taking stock of where you are today and looking at how you can stop doing the things that really don't make you feel great, that really don't help you as an individual, or at least reduce that pile of things. You don't, it might not be realistic to say that you're going to be able to stop those things altogether, but just having a goal of saying, okay, how much time do I think that I could take from these tasks that I don't feel great doing and transfer into tasks that I love doing? And even if you could take half an hour a day, that would be a huge achievement and would massively impact the energy that you have towards undertaking new tasks moving forward. I feel like I could rant for days on that. But we'll move on in the interest of time onto the second point. So the second point was all to do with feeling as though you're lacking that professional presence. So this is typically for people who know that they're pretty good at what they do. Everything seems to be ticking along nicely. But when you're in a group environment, you don't feel like you've got that professional presence, and you don't feel as though you have that gravitas when you're speaking within the team. And I think that very often, of course, this comes down to communication style quite often. But very often what it can come down to is if we are feeling overlooked and as though the work that we're doing isn't being necessarily appreciated or recognized for what it is, then very often it's because you may be lacking a personal brand. And personal branding is really about just proactively impacting the way that you are perceived externally. So really thinking about the way that people, I suppose the way that, I don't want to use the word judge because judge is quite negative, but the way that people take you, you know, the person they take you as and the impression that they get after spending time with you. So I think personal branding, it's something that's happening whether you're aware of it or not, is what I'll say. So it's not a case of saying, oh, I need to get a, you've already got one, you know, you have already got a personal brand. Probably a good place to start if you're unaware is really looking at, I wonder what people think of me, and potentially gaining some feedback from them. So I've recommended this to clients before when they've really wanted to start shaping who they're becoming and what they're being known for within the workplace. So really just asking for some feedback, selecting a number of colleagues from different departments at different levels, and sharing this project with your boss if you wish would most probably help you to get the best results. But effectively you'd be sort of creating a bit of a survey, I suppose, just asking questions surrounding what people's impressions of you are, what they feel that your top three skills are, what they might think that your top three values are. And it's really interesting to see what comes back. Because first of all, if you do decide to do this and you send it out to like five people, for example, probably not everyone's going to come back to you. And the reason this is because people find it really difficult to give honest feedback, as I'm sure you've probably experienced before. So don't feel too offended if you don't get all the responses back that you would wish for. But really looking at what people perceive your values and skills to be is really interesting. You might find something out that really surprises you, that you might find out that actually you've got a skill set that you have been overlooking. So never mind feeling as though you're being overlooked. It could be that you're not leaning into your zone of genius, I suppose. So really helpful from that perspective, but also really helpful to see any feedback on the ways in which you could enhance that position, or perhaps improve any of your performance as well. You've got to want to know the truth here, I think, but it's a really good place to start so that you can begin almost putting that stake in the ground and saying, okay, I understand that this is the perception I've created so far. What I'm going to do now is really define what my values are. And I'm going to work out, if I was somebody 2 to 3 years down the line in a more senior position, who's done a lot of work on this personal brand, how would I be showing up to represent these values? So really starting to think about how you communicate, what sort of work that you're doing day to day. Are you involved in any external initiatives, any voluntary work within the organization? Are you putting your personal brand out on LinkedIn to create a wider network that understands you as this person? So really just trying to understand exactly more about who you are, so that when you go back into these group environments, your professional presence is going to be a lot more noticeable because you're very clear on who you are. And the second thing, you know, I very briefly touched on the fact that lacking a professional presence can often come from communication style. Yes, that is true. But very often the lack of gravitas comes from you not necessarily valuing your own contribution. And this is absolutely a position that I've been in. And to be honest, you know, depending on the group of people, sometimes can be something that I still do struggle with, because I feel as though I'm so focused on learning from other people that I'm not necessarily valuing what I'm bringing to the table. So it's not always a conscious thing, but just something that could really help you with that professional presence is revisiting that personal brand element. And on to the third common theme that I am seeing at the moment. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is all to do with questioning whether they can deliver. And typically this will happen if you have just started a new role. So it could be that you've maybe transitioned into a new role within your existing organization, or you've jumped ship, you've started something completely new in a different industry, but now you're starting to feel maybe just a touch of imposter syndrome creeping in, thinking, oh gosh, I've said I can do all these things and now I've got to actually do it. Oh my goodness. And look, it can feel pretty scary when we have a big tangible KPI attached to what we have to deliver. So what I mean when I say that is, for example, if you are in a sales or buying role and you have a big commercial target attached to your main output, it's pretty black and white there, isn't it, as to whether you've achieved it or not. So that can feel quite daunting sometimes. And very often we think, oh my goodness me, I've got to pull this out of nowhere. I've said that I can do it. And if I don't do it, then it's on me. I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but the first thing that I want to say is we have got to begin acknowledging that our role is one role within an organization. Sounds pretty basic, right? But let me continue. The people around us, for example, our line managers and their managers as well, and the rest of the teams, they've all got a responsibility to make our role a success as well. And so one of the first things that I would tend to do going into a new role is really getting clear on the environment that I need to thrive. So if you've been brought into a new role, the likelihood is, you know, you've got a remit ahead of you that both you and the hiring manager feel that you're the person to fill, right? So the first thing you've got to ask yourself is, what do I need to create success here? And that might be something as small as, oh, well, I need the information to come to me in a way that's easy for me to file away. So you might say, I need a really effective CRM system that I can use to track who I'm contacting and that sort of thing. You know, anyone who's ever been sales, as you know, my background was sales back in the tech industry, anyone who's ever been sales knows that, you know, a CRM system is an absolute essential. But if you started a new sales role on day one and said, right, okay, you know, what CRM system are we using? And they said, oh yeah, we haven't got one of those yet, but if you can just, you know, sort of track your results in Excel for now. Well, to start with, that is not creating a result and an environment that you can create results in and thrive. So it's about really working out what the main things are that you need in order to succeed. And then not being too scared to present any challenges. So very often when we're in this early stage in a role, we're really wanting to show that we can deliver, and we're wanting to show that we can take things away and go off and have autonomy and, you know, basically go ahead and do the do without necessarily needing to bother anyone, because that would be inconvenient, and gosh, you know, we don't want to be an inconvenience. But really what we need to be doing in these early days is assessing, okay, this is the set of circumstances we've got, really looking at understanding exactly what has been tried before in order to reach the goal that you are now being asked to reach. Looking at expectations surrounding time scale, looking at expectations surrounding involvement of others, and really just assessing what you've got, and then not feeling scared to present what you deem to be a challenge. Because you might say, okay, great, what I've noticed when I've been going through this is this thing here, and I feel as though this could become a bit of a roadblock later down the line. Wanted to flag it to you so that we can make sure that this is filed away, so that if we do need to look into it a little bit more, you know, we are aware of it. But very often people are frightened to do that because they don't want to feel as though they're flagging something that maybe might be perceived as, oh, well, you can't cope with it, you can't handle it. Does that resonate? Because I feel like sometimes we are so determined to set a good impression and to show that we can do things that sometimes we neglect the fundamentals. So let me know. Let me know what you think about that. So really taking your circumstances and assessing them and looking at, okay, here's my part in achieving the role success here. What do I need from others? And how can I ask for more support or some more communication or some more check-in points? You know, really making sure that everything is there for you to thrive, and noticing if things feel off as well. So really thinking, I don't necessarily feel like I've spoken to anyone about this week. I feel a bit uneasy about it. Really knowing what feels good to you, and what makes you feel uneasy or, you know, feel unsupported, because this is things that need to be addressed very early on. Last thing that you want to do is get 6 to 9 months down the line and think, oh yeah, I never told them about that thing that I kind of knew was going to be a problem now, but oh, here we are. It's raised its ugly head, and I'm going to have to now make out that I didn't spot it in the first place. And what are you doing then is you're doing yourself a disservice, because you're making out as though you didn't realise something that you did. So it's all about being proactive. So I could waffle on for days about all these, but these are the three common themes I'm seeing at the moment. And what I want to do is really support you to take back that personal power and think, actually, there is a joint responsibility. What I have been doing is looking at these situations, and really, I've been thinking that I need to deal with it all myself. Leadership Mindset 101 is looking at how can everybody play a role here, and how can I share this responsibility? Because otherwise, you might as well be sat in a room on your own, or, you know, become an entrepreneur, start your own business, because, you know, that's a great place to be if you think that you want to do it all yourself. But not when you're working in an organization who's meant to have an infrastructure there to support you. So really looking at, okay, this is how things are today. What am I in control of here? What do I have the power to change? What would I like to change? What do I wish was different? All of these questions, going back and prompting to yourself and thinking about, what could I do differently to impact this? And reflect back as well. You know, get to the end of the weeks and months and think, what have I noticed coming up this week? What have I noticed coming up this month? And what can I do differently moving forward to start to take back some of that power? So really moving from circumstantial power, i.e. this is what I have, this is the set of circumstances, and taking that into personal power of, okay, I see these circumstances and I also see my ability to impact those to create a more suitable environment for me to thrive as an individual and as an ambitious woman in my career. So I'll end this first podcast of season 5 by just saying our most underutilized tool in anything really, but specifically in career advancement, is communication. So often we're just taking on so much of this responsibility ourselves, thinking we need to do it all, thinking that we need to be the ones to conquer things. But actually, just communicating and just sense checking can have so much power and can save you so much time. So take back your personal power, really think about ways in which you can take control of the things that you're investing your energy into this week. And I would absolutely love for you to connect with me on LinkedIn. I am on Instagram as well, but to be honest, I'm not as active on there anymore. LinkedIn is where it's at for me. Connect with me on LinkedIn and share any takeaways that you've had from this episode. It would mean the absolute world to me. Have an amazing day. Thanks for listening to the Achieve With Me podcast. Please do give the episode a star rating. It takes just a second, but makes so much difference. And please connect with me on LinkedIn and share your main takeaways from today's episode. See you next time.